Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And you know, I get geeked up on Tuesday nights, so welcome to the party, y'all. Thank you for being a part of this event. I get so excited. I am so excited that you chose to join in today. So we're going to go ahead and knock this thing on off. We're going to get this party started. And you know, you always got to do certain things to set up for the party. And so what we do is we do a little warm-up exercises just to kind of get ourselves in gear. So the first thing we do is we unite under positive energy. And so I get to read to you from my daily inspirational messages. It's revsandy.wordpress.com if you're interested in receiving these in your email on a daily basis. And today's message is called Learn to Love Yourself. I use the term learn to love yourself because many of us often leave that to someone else to do for us. Despite what you have thought in the past, you must love yourself before anyone else can truly love you. To love yourself is to be completely honest with your thoughts and actions towards you. And you do not have to share your innermost thoughts with anyone unless you choose to do so. So what are you really thinking these days? Do you believe you are worthy of the goals and dreams you have for yourself? Are you beautiful by your own standards? Do you experience joy on a deep soul satisfying level? You can learn to be in love with you at all times and through all circumstances. You learn this by simply doing it without excuse or resistance. Just love who you have become, all the wonderful lessons you have learned, and all the growth you have experienced. Isn't it grand to count it all a blessing? It is your life, your physical existence. It is your heart and your soul that we are celebrating with absolute joy. Love that person at the deepest levels and watch how much better your life becomes. You are doing it for yourself, and that is reason enough. Practice giving the best to you this day. They say practice makes perfect. So continue to practice loving yourself until you become a master at it. Truly love without any conditions. To love yourself is the greatest gift you can give to you. Today. I love me today. I truly love me today. I am worthy of love. And I accept love into my life, beginning with self-love. I give myself permission to love freely without restraints or limitations. I simply choose to love. I am my best friend. I tell myself the truth at all times. I am patient and kind with me. I choose words of support and encouragement with myself. I know I can and I will. It is my choice. This very day, I will love myself completely and fully. Well, thank you for being a part of that process of anchoring in affirmative reading. And the next thing we do, you know, we have the energies with us at all times, but we also have to ask for that which we want. So right now what I stop and do is I invoke and I invite the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to be with us tonight. And we invite them and ask them to be with us always. But on Tuesday nights, as we open up and take the shades and the mask off of things that we rarely talk about and have a hard time communicating, we especially need the energies of the ancestors. So ancestors, we love you, we treasure you, we welcome your gifts to us. Thank you so much. Ashe, ashe. It's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Eradicating Mental, Physical, and Spiritual Parasites. And we have none other than Dr. B. Serious with us tonight. And I tell you, just wait until I get to his bio. You guys are going to just be like, wow, who is this man, if you don't already know him? And so, audience, you know you're always invited to join in the conversation. So all comments are always welcome, and every voice is heard. There's never any condemnation or, nay-nay in what you're saying. So everything's accepted, and there's no judgment. So if you're not on the call, you can call in at 516-531-9819. And you guys, you know, I'm always excited, and my words just get close together, sometimes too close without a breath in between. But I tell you, I am so jazzed up to be able to bring Dr. B with us tonight. We're going to take a short break and just get ourselves ready with a little music. And then when we come back, you're going to be listening to Dr. B. Serious on eradicating mental, physical, and spiritual parasites. And you know you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We'll be right back.
Wanna buy a new car, but the price ain't right. Ain't that cold? Be a damn sight cheaper. Yes, it would. Started riding a bike. Listen, they're making milk out of powder. Yeah, they are. Got the baby crying. Poor baby, they know what that stuff is. Rent's gone up higher. Yes, it is. Got the parents lying.
I'll pay you tomorrow.
Lord, it's a real motherfucker. Yeah. Make you wanna run for cover. Yes, it will. And if you look, you will discover. Yeah. Lord, it's a real motherfucker. Got to go to a disco. Throw your troubles away. Dance to the music that the DJ plays. Well, all right. And then the lights come on. Yeah. Like you knew they would. That's cold. Gone home and face the music that don't sound too good. Listen, Lord, it's a real motherfucker. It'll make you wanna run for cover, yeah.
And y'all know who that was? Johnny Guitar Wilson. I love that song. It makes you dance in your seat and just kind of get your energies up, right? So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to get straight into this. I have the absolute honor and pleasure to welcome our guest tonight, Dr. Be Serious. His theme, or what he says he's going to talk on, and I know we're going to get into much more than what this title says, but the name of his show is Eradicating Mental, Physical, and Spiritual Parasites. So let me tell you guys who this man is. Dr. Be Serious is a PhD. He's a leading mind, body, and spirit medicine man. He's a certified doctor of metaphysics, master herbalist, natural remedy formulator, wellness educator, and vibrational healing music pioneer. He is widely respected and endorsed by Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith, Dick Gregory, Alice Coltrane, and a host of others. He has clients spanning across 6 continents, and they trust him with their physical, emotional, mental, and holistic well-being. He was born into a long line of healers, counselors, and teachers with roots in ancient America, Africa, and India. Dr. Be Serious continues this long family tradition as a master herbalist entrenched in natural healing and higher consciousness. He chooses powerful botanicals that have been grown in nutrient-dense lands. Dr. B's unique proprietary system infuses vibrational energy such as light and sound waves along with programmed water to create essential remedies for the healing of nations. Dr. Be Serious has developed a mental balancing system called subconscious alignment. This multidimensional process allows individuals to awaken and harness their body's own innate healing capabilities, break emotional barriers, reclaim their authority, and experience higher states of consciousness. Another form of Dr. B's healing medicine is the gift of music. He uses his 40-plus years of musical experience to create what he calls medicine music. Dr. B began his musical career specializing in world percussion and soon became a Grammy-nominated musician, producer, audio engineer, arranger, and composer. He's been involved with projects for Sony, Universal, Motown, Capitol, Sesame Street, Rosie O'Donnell, B.B. King, NDIRE, Boney James, Rick Braun, George Duke, and that's just a few of the people that he's worked with. He's also a parasite specialist. So Dr. B is all of that, and he's my friend. So let me tell you how I first met Dr. B, and then we're going to bring him on. It's been about 7 or 8 years ago, and I was living here in Atlanta, and you guys know I'm from Los Angeles, but I was living here, and I was called by a very dear friend that wanted me to, when I came to California, because I normally go there a couple of times a year to visit with family, they wanted me to talk with a young man that was recently diagnosed as being HIV positive. And so I put my feelers out to a couple of people that I work with in Los Angeles and my family as well. And Dr. B was highly recommended. And so now here it is 7 or 8 years later, and that young man is living a normal, undetectable life. And thanks to Dr. B for his advice that he gave this young man and his guidance. I mean, he's straight to the point. He don't color it no kind of way other than truthful. He's real. He's raw. That's what I call him. But the remedy or the suggestions that Dr. B made to this young man, like go sit in the forest and put your feet in some ocean water. Get connected with nature is what he was telling him. But he also told him, you got to make a decision if you truly want to live or if you want to be a prisoner or a victim to what they said that, that you have. And so, Dr. B, you are so, so, so much a part of what this world needs to bring about a total healing. Thank you for taking time from your awesome schedule and joining us here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Welcome to our show.
I'm honored to be here with you and been looking forward to this for some time, so let's make it happen.
All right, we had it then.
Yes,
you know, I want to bring up some of the, some of the things that we talked about when we were putting this show together, and you were telling me that this time frame from November the 24th to January the 1st, that all doctors and EMTs and medical personnel, they're on high alert. Because this is one of the times of the year when people begin to feel in such a way that it drives them into a state of unworthiness. Can you elaborate on that? Because I so believe that that happens.
Well, first of all, the sun is lower in the sky in the fall and in the winter. So the sun has a lot to do with our vibration and who we are. So when the sun is low, sometimes our emotions get a little imbalanced. And some people have seasonal affective disorder because they're not getting enough sunlight. I mean, none of us in North America are getting enough sunlight anyway, so we definitely need vitamin D3, you know, throughout the year. But if you're not taking it, you know, at all, this is the time to take it, so that you can convert more of the sunlight into, you know, life force energy. But what happens right around these holidays, people begin to join in to what they call the holiday cheer. So they begin to eat foods and act out in ways that they haven't done all year. And now when I say act out, sometimes this is disagreeably in or agreeably, because let's say you go to a relative's house and you haven't been there in a long time and they got some food that you don't eat. You vowed not to eat it, but they will make you feel guilty. They'll make you feel bad, and they'll tell you things like, well, you know, if your mother was here, she would be upset with you, and you into this, you know, eating healthy, but this on this one day you could at least eat my pork chop chicken pie. You know what I'm saying? or whatever it is. And a lot of times, because of that force, that pressure, and that programming from the family, we'll go ahead and do it. Another thing that people do is they eat too much. They normally don't eat this much, you know, and they eat too much of the wrong things, you know, and it's also emotional because they're around family. Family sometimes has the vibration of we're together, we're alive, we're happy, so let's just eat, because all of our holidays and all of our functions got to do with food. I don't even know one that we do that doesn't have to do with eating lots of food. So a lot of folks will get off of their track. They'll get out of their car, let go of the wheel, and just let other people, let the ideas of the family and tradition take over, and then they have a crash. Now the third piece is emotionally, a lot of families have unresolved issues, anger, fear, worry, hatred, all kinds of stuff, and when they see each other, this can come to the surface. So, you know, you're around the Thanksgiving table, there's knives, there's the sharp electric kitchen turkey knife, and there's liquor, and there's sugar, and there's all these things that are actually chemicals. You know, these are drugs that people are on, and people snap. They snap about something 20, 30, 40 years old and go off, you know, and because we have an issue with not being able to let go of the past and live in the present moment. So there are many things that cause us from Thanksgiving straight through the holidays, what I call the hollering days, through, you know, right through, you know, the first of the year, where all hospitals, all emergency personnel and police are on high alert because people snap. They lose it, you know. So, and food has an emotional effect on us too. So, you know, we might do something after we eat, you know, a piece of that turkey that we might not normally do, you know, especially if you don't normally eat turkey. you see. And then it all, and then there's a fourth piece. Whoever is cooking the food is infusing it with their life force energy. Never mind
yes,
the ingredients. We're talking about their energy.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
See, water is programmable. Most of the food you eat has water in it. If it's animal products, it's got water in it. Water is programmable based on the thought process, the feelings, emotions of the person who is cooking the food, who's putting their hands on it. You see? So a lot of times we have food, people bringing food from all over. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and,
yeah.
And they're putting, they're fusing that energy into the food. And some folks are not happy. They really didn't want to be here. They didn't want to come. They was upset about something. And they just got a terrible diagnosis from the doctor. They're living in fear,
or
anger.
They didn't want to prepare the food.
This is what I'm saying. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And they had to. So that causes
that's
the emergency.
That's so interesting.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
You know, because I like to tell people put love in their food when they're preparing it, you know, and people be like, what are you talking about, put love into the food? And so I really like that you brought that up. But give us a little bit more about the water being programmable. So you're saying that I can add like positive energy, like love to some water, and it will be more beneficial for me?
Well, water is a living crystal. Water is alive. And, well, most water is alive. The water that isn't alive is distilled water. It's not alive. But most other water is a living creature. You see, so it has a crystal, it has a liquid crystal structure. And when you think certain thoughts around water, water crystallizes itself based on those thoughts. So if you start saying, you know, you're angry, you're mad, you're tired, I'm blah, 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 and it's disagreeable. Water begins to form ugly looking crystal shapes based around that thought process. Now, if you're thinking love, peace, harmony, joy, satisfaction, you know, the water makes these beautiful six-pointed star shapes, almost like what snowflakes, exactly what snowflakes look like. Now, what's interesting is the portals or the doorways of each of your cells that accepts water, it has a six-pointed star keyhole. It looks like a six-pointed star. So when you are in love mode, and you've programmed your water in love mode, the water has a beautiful six-pointed star, and it fits perfectly into the six-pointed star keyhole so that your body can now get water. See, most people are dehydrated, even if they're drinking a lot of water, because that water cannot go into the cell. It stays on the outside of the cell. It becomes what they call extracellular fluid. But you'd like to get some of that intracellular fluid, the fluid inside of the cell, out, the old fluid out, and put new water in. To do that, you're going to have to be in a mental mode, an energetic state, so that the body is ready to drink. The skin of the cell, what they call the membrane, closes off when it feels that the water around it is polluted, polluted with your thought process. So the cell is protecting itself. So it shuts off the doorways, the gateways, the portals, because that water, that thought process, that way of living and thinking is toxic to it. So we could drink a lot of water, but if you got a terrible attitude, which most people do, you know, the body says, well, we're going to take as little of this as possible because this is going to damage us quickly. So the body is always intelligent and attempting to save itself and thrive. You see, so we would be more, you know, we would be more conscious and better off or wise if we begin to think properly around water or put the water in your right hand before you drink it and program it. Now, if it's food, most food is water. You see, it's based on water. If it's vegetables, it's water. So you're programming, you see. And then just think your body is 70% water. So if you're thinking disagreeable thoughts all day and you're thinking like a victim, which most people are doing, you are polluted. You see, and after a while, you make a swamp, and you know, you end up with one of these major diseases, or you wake up dead. You see?
Wow. So I told you guys he was going to break it down for you. He'd be real. He'd be raw. He's just telling you like it is. Ooh-wee.
Now, you notice
and you know
say,
you were talking. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you notice I didn't say wake up lifeless. I said you wake up dead.
Yeah.
Most people are walking dead.
I believe
zombies.
Yes.
Probably 90 to 98% of the people are walking dead. I don't care how they old boy vegans, raw food is, this and that. I do yoga. I got singing bowls. I use sage. The average person is nowhere near the potential they could be at because of the programming of the water. Now, the air is water. The air that we live in, the oxygen, is a liquid. If you don't program the liquid around you, the air, the space, your environment, you wake up dead. Am I making sense? Was that clear?
You're making sense. I'm telling you, I'm making all these notes and stuff. Yes, sir. It makes so much sense. Because, you know, a lot of times we do, you know, we go through that extra step of, you know, well, I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to eat that, I'm not going to cook my food, I'm not going to kill it, you know, but it makes so much sense that our basic energy is what affects what we consume more than anything. And that is such an awesome gem right there to know, so that we can start, I'm including myself, we can start going around with a better attitude, one of thanksgiving, one of love, one of inclusion, one of harmony, all those words. But to and when you catch yourself drifting off into that negativity, that you stop, you know, because now we understand and we know just how detrimental it is to our survival.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to take
That's
it one
awesome.
Step further.
Sure.
Let's say we eat healthy. And we live in some type of spiritual life that we think is great. A lot of times we become very judgmental. And somebody else has eaten something, and we want to tell them what they're eating and how toxic it is. Or we just have judgments about the way other people live, right? Did you know
Yes.
that your subconscious mind cannot perceive or conceive of anything outside of itself? I'm going to say it again. Your subconscious mind cannot perceive, conceive of anything outside of itself. So if you look at somebody else's food or their way of life, and you say, that's wrong, that's bad, they're this, and you're judgmental, the subconscious thinks that you're talking about yourself. And the subconscious,
Ooh.
The body goes into fear mode. It goes into a state of acidic, you know, becomes acidic. It begins to destroy your own cells. Now, that right there, see, when I was going to school for metaphysics and quantum, you know, and I also had to study quantum physics, I was like, whoa, this is deep. See, quantum physics is the place where spirituality and science meet. See, a lot of spiritual stuff may not be scientific. A lot of scientific things may not be spiritual, but there's a place where they meet. That's called quantum
right.
physics. That's one of the newest sciences. So when I was studying this, I was like, wait a minute. We got another level of issues here because we've been programmed to be extremely judgmental, territorial, right? And we're very projective.
Yes.
We're projective. What does that mean? We project our thoughts, feelings, and needs and desires on others and out into the world. The subconscious is the voice in you that's speaking what you have spoken. It repeats it to itself. It doesn't know that you're talking about somebody over there. So a lot of people become sick and ill, even if they're eating what they call correctly or in some type of religious order or some spiritual world or whatever that is. They still have to work on being judgmental. Judge. Mental, your mind,
wow.
using your mind
yes,
mental,
yes.
to judge. And then we judge self, because if you're judging others all the time, guess what you're doing? You're judging yourself.
Exactly.
See, now that creates an environment. Tell you your environment
yes.
is liquid. And it creates an environment where the water crystals, right, which are living
right.
entities, are shaped in a very disagreeable, ugly manner, and your body cannot get nutrition. It doesn't get enough. It's shutting down. It's closing off. It's like when you know you yell at a person, You know, they start, they squeeze their muscles. They try to, you know, they get small so that they can't take as much of the drama that's hitting them. You see what I'm saying? The body's doing the same thing within its cellular matter. This is why I have a lot of clients who think they're eating correctly and living right, and they're sick. And it's because of the inner turmoil. You see? So this is a state that we've got to work on. And, you know, and let other people live their lives. You know, whatever they're doing. They're eating pork chops. If nobody asked you. You get nobody to be like a dietary zealot. Well, you got to jump up and start talking to this person about these pork chops. Let them eat their pork chops. That's them. You don't want to hang out with them, and you don't want to shake their hands. And you know what I'm saying? But you know what's funny about this, Sandy, is that a lot of folks may talk all this talk, but when they're the person that they, you know, they happen to say they love and sleep with, all of a sudden they cool now. You know, I just hope you wouldn't eat any ham hocks. Let's get to making love. Which means that you, this vegan, raw food, vegetarian, you know, spiritual zealot, now you're eating that too. I don't want to go there.
Oh, no, we need to go there because we don't have that conversation. People don't understand how when the woman receives the man or vice versa, that all of the lifestyle of the other person is being intertwined in you. So, yeah, no, we need to go there, Dr. B.
Even with what you call the condom.
Yes.
It's a con, first of all, because the thing got holes in it. You see? And it's a scam. You know, I was at UCLA when I was over there. We would use the microscopes for all kinds of things. And we stuck that condom under there. And it was like, this thing is full of holes. It's porous.
Wow.
I'm like, wait a minute. Do people know this? And it's made of latex. Latex is a toxic material. And you're going to put this on and feel like you're safe. You're having safe sex. No, safe sex is get you some cayenne, put it on some popcorn with some turmeric and a little garlic. You see what I'm saying? Watch a good comedy. You know what I'm saying? You see? So
right.
This whole thing about safe sex, first of all, has to do with you thinking, living, and being safe within yourself or being secure. To be secure. Mm. To be secure means that you see the cure in your life. You're fixing. You're doing course correction constantly. So you have to be courageous to do that, to have courage. To have courage means that you are protected and you have faith, which means to feel as if the desire or the thing that you would like to happen is happening. Feel as if the thing has happened. Faith. Feel as if the thing has happened. You have to know that you're protected. Now all of a sudden, you have become the prophylactic. You have become the
protector. Wow.
You have become the guardian at the gate. You are on post. You are the security. You're the police person. You're the army, the navy, the military of your body. You're taking care of your business, and you don't do business with people who don't do business with you, and you mind your own business. I was on a roll there. I'm back. I was on a roll.
Yeah, I'm loving it, though, man. Don't stop. Oh, wow, that was good. I was digging that. It may not even matter. You know, when we first got started, I didn't ask you to share with the audience of how you chose to get into metaphysics or into the healing. Now, you say you come from a long line of healers and counselors and educators and like that, but was there something particular that got you started into really honing in and becoming an expert on these different areas of healing?
Well, first of all, growing up, I didn't know my family was a long line of healers and teachers, and, you know, I didn't know that. All I knew, I was living in a family in America. I had no idea. You know, my thing was music. You know, I lived in music. Music was my spirituality. That's what kept me out of trouble. Well, actually got me in some trouble, but it also got me out of trouble growing up in the northeast of America. and you know, becoming, you know, successful in the music industry, a lot of times you have to, well, you don't have to, you choose to live a life where you're not eating your best, you're not thinking your best, you're not hanging out with the right people, because your ego takes over, especially if you start getting, you start getting notoriety. People start, you know, blowing that smoke up your behind, and you start hearing that you're good, and those strong handshakes. After a while, you get caught up in the hype. And I was very successful because I understood vibration and rhythm and things like that very well. So I ate a lot of foods that, you know, were not good, and didn't sleep much. And, you know, there was a few, well, maybe more than a few. Well, there were these things that were chemicals that people used to keep them up. There was chemicals to put you to sleep. There was chemicals to keep you creative. There was chemicals because you needed to make love. I mean, you know, there was chemicals.
Yeah, you're right.
Those chemicals. Yep. Those Kims, them Kims was calling me. You see what I'm saying? I put chemicals on my hair. I use chemical deodorant, chemical soap. I brush my teeth with chemicals. You understand what I'm saying? We live in chemical society, and we go to the place where we think we see a farm, the pharmacy. There's no farm in there, but you think that it's a farm subconsciously because you've been saying pharmacy, and your subconscious mind thinks that it's a farm because you said it was, even though there's, you know, there's linoleum tiles and lights and fluorescent lights, and, you know, you're in there looking for what? Something that can make you feel normal. You see, so there was a lot of that. And after many years of that, you know, I was extremely successful. Many Grammy nominations and awards and gold platinum records, and I just started getting sick. I started realizing how the music industry was run, who ran it, how it was under control, between the drug companies, the alcohol companies, and the prison industrial complex were controlling the part of music that I was in, and it was destroying people. I started seeing how it was controlled, and it wasn't about music anymore, because when you get into commercial music, it's not about the music, it's about business. It's not about, you know, the mainstream is about money, and that's what it's about. And the artists and the producers and all them, they're getting less than 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 10%. And the rest goes to these people who are unseen, you know, the hidden hand. And they're about controlling the population. It's population control.
Right.
So the mainstream is part of programming people's minds. And I found all this out. I found out that there were secret codes that when they take your record to be mastered, they were putting these secret codes in there and these frequencies that cause disharmony in people. Even though people felt happy, it's like drugs. They make you feel happy, but they're destroying you on the inside, you see? And this is what they do with music. You know, music is also a type of drug, you see? And it can be one that helps you and moves you along in your success and your growth, or one that breaks you down and tears you apart and causes separation. So I became very sick, and I was no longer happy, even though I had the cars, I had the house, you know what I mean? I had it all. You know, I was buying everything.
Right.
I had the biggest television in the world. You had to turn your neck when they hit the ball, you know what I'm saying? You had to turn your neck to watch the ball go across the screen. You know what I'm saying? My clothes felt like they were blowing in the wind. There was so much radiation coming off that television. My clothes, I said, my clothes feel like they're moving where they were. You see? But my point here is that I became very ill, and, you know, I couldn't even walk up steps anymore. It would take me about 15 minutes to walk up a flight of steps. I had to stop. I couldn't breathe. At night, I would stop breathing, and I would choke, and my eyesight, I mean, everything. Everything was shutting down. Everything. And I went to several specialists, and they basically said that I had a metabolic illness where all of my organs were shrinking, and that my body was not – parts of my body were not communicating with the other, and there was like a war going on. So this was like an autoimmune system situation. And they always tell you that this is rare. You know, only 1 in 1 million people have it, and, you know. And they said there was nothing they could do. I asked the doctor, what do you do for a living? He said, well, I practice medicine. I said, well, you know, you got all my insurance money. I got 1,000 needle marks, and you've probed me in every orifice. You know, you need to give me a better description. He said, well, you know, we treat disease. Oh, you treat the disease. I don't hear my name in there. You don't treat the person? And he said, well, you know, we're into disease maintenance. Oh, you keep disease, maintain disease. I don't hear me. I don't hear you saying you maintain health. And what have you cured? And he basically said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, all of a sudden now I'm speaking Spanish or Latin or something. What? Y'all cured anything? And basically he says, well, we almost cured polio, but then the president died, so we no longer needed to support that. What?
Wow.
You don't cure it? Wow. We can cut it out. They can burn it. They can fry it. You understand what I'm saying? They can fry you. They can burn you. They can drug you so you don't feel it. You see what I'm saying? You know, half your body got a disease with it. And half off and leave the rest of you walking around with one half. They can do that. They're good at that. Mm. They're also very good in emergency. Emergency medicine actually is pretty good. They've come pretty far. But when it comes down to maintaining people's health and studying the ethnic groups of people and the differences of their body biologically, they don't really do that too often. They study mostly a Caucasian man, 53 years old. He's a cadaver, so he's dead. And, you know, you try things on mice, and you say, well, we're the closest thing to mice. Now, where y'all come? And people go for that. Now, what makes you think I'm close to a mouse? You see what I'm saying? That's because of Mickey Mouse. See, that's what they did. See, that Mickey Mouse messed with a lot of folks' heads. I'm for real talking. Mickey Mouse was a deep thing.
Yep.
Go ahead.
But, you know, Dr. B, because that's what I was I challenge the doctors a lot. I know they hate to see me coming. But, you know, like, so when I was doing all of the work within the HIV community and really learning how that initial medication, the AZT, it was saving the lives of the Caucasian, you know, the white man, but it was killing the brothers, you know, like just the same dosage. So in my mind, I'm saying, okay, so somebody in the medical field must understand at this point that the same medication, the same dosage kills one and saves the other. So there has to be a difference in the bodies, right? So then when I go for my medical, I'm asking, so who are you using as the baseline to tell me that I have high blood pressure or low blood pressure or diabetes or something like, and they always look at me like I'm really strange. You know, because this has been proven in history that you can't use a white man to, for the baseline for a black man or for a black woman. So how am my blood pressure being measured against? And no one has answered me to today. You know, I still don't have an answer as to why I'm supposed to accept that whatever my blood pressure is, that is wrong or high or it needs pills to correct it.
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to say there are some really good medical doctors out there. And I'm not totally against the whole medical system. What I'm against is this standardization. The standardization of music, you know, you got to tell them, oh, is it R&B, is it hip-hop, or is it country? Why can't it be some, you know, mix of it all? Why do I have to be in a box? The standardization of races. This person is black, this person is white, that person is Asian. See, it's boxes. You see, school, the standardized test, this to me is the most unbelievably destructive thing you could do to your child, is to make your child have to do as good as or be equal to some other child. And everybody's different. So then we get down to medical. It's standardized. This is a man. This is a woman. You see what I'm saying? This is who we are. We're the human beings. No, everyone's different. Some people's organs are in different places. Their organs are in different places. Oh, come on, Dr. B. I'm telling you. I studied it. This is what I did. Well, in order to save my life, I had to go deep. Because they had no answers for me. And that was standardized. They said this is what I had, and there was nothing they could do. I asked them, what about herbs and natural health? They said, well, they don't work. I said, well, what herbs do you know about? We don't know about any of them. Well, how are you going to tell me something don't work if you don't know about it? But that's ego. That's, you know, that's those doctors, a lot of them are in a system also. They're being processed and programmed and controlled at a certain level. You see, it's about money. You follow the money, you follow the issue. So the bottom line is this standardization. Yes, truly. What is high blood pressure? What is low blood pressure? What is a borderline diabetic? The doctor said, you know, you're borderline diabetic. You need to tell them thank you. Well, you know, what we found out is that you're positive for such and such. Well, wait a minute. Positive? That's a good thing, isn't it? Positive. I should be happy. See, my aunt, most of the folks on my mother's side, you know, we had a very, 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 very big family. And most of my mother's brothers and sisters got some sort of cancer. So when I went to the doctor, they wanted to test me for cancer. I said, well, why? They said, well, you know, it runs in your family. I said, what do you mean by runs in the family? Explain that term. It sounds like something we've agreed to. But what do you mean run? Does it ever walk in the family? Does it crawl? You know, what do you mean it runs in the family? Well, and they said, well, you know, we understand blah, 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 blah. I said, do you even know who my family is? Well, you're black. The black family. Oh, the black union. Yeah, all of us got a disease. Well, we had a disease from being black. They used to have a name for being black. It was a disease, right? So this is a little skewed right here. Now, I said, well, have you checked my grandparents' history? Well, of course they didn't, because they didn't know my grandparents. Got me all scared out of my wits. I said, but my grandparents didn't have cancer. When did this start running in the family, Doc?
The doctor, there you go.
He looked at me like, well, what exactly are you saying? You got all kind of dead sheepskins up on your wall, or is that just paper? You know what I'm saying? And you're going to I just explained to you something that was some common sense. My grandparents, that means my mother and father's parents, don't and did not have cancer. So when did it start running in the family, and what triggered it? At this point, they're trying to get me out of the
office.
I was getting loud. There's people in the waiting room. You know what I'm saying? I'm wild. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be careful with the language and the words that people are using, because it's affecting you. You figure that these are authority figures, and they got pictures on the wall, and they show you what cancer looks like and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, they got white jackets on. So you have agreed in your mind that these people are of authority. And a lot of times they're guessing, putting you on some standardized lists. They see you walk in, you black, you got a whole lot of diseases. Just coming up in here. You came up in here? Oh, yeah, you got something. You know, very seldom do you hear folks say they got a clean bill of health. My uncle said, well, they gave me a clean bill of health. But they did tell me I was borderline diabetic. Well, whoa! Borderline. So I'm not over the border yet. So I can correct it. But my aunt, they told her they were going to have to cut both of her breasts off. And she started laughing. She told them it was because she was fine, she said. You know what I'm saying? I'd be out at the clubs, I'm partying, you ain't cutting my stuff off. They said, ma'am, we're going to have to cut them both off. You're not having babies anymore. You know, you don't need these. My
aunt
laughed and laughed and laughed till they had to usher her out of the office. She called my mother. She was hysterical laughing, and she told my mother, she said, guess what they told me? They told me they're going to cut my breast off. And she's just laughing and laughing. After a while, my mother starts laughing because she won't stop. She's dropping the phone. Oh, my gosh. And she laughed and laughed and laughed. Do you know, to this day, that is the only aunt on that side of the family that has no sign of cancer. And she became a comedian. And she's always got jokes. Everything is so funny. Huh? You talking about some medicine, huh? Laughter. You know, my one of my mentors, Dick Gregory, he told me years ago, he said, Dr. B, they're going to kill you. So what you mean they're going to kill me? What are you talking about? You know, everybody else he said was going to die. He called, you know, Martin Luther King the day before him. He said, man, they're going to get you, man. I can't hang with you. Same thing with Malcolm X. You know, he had his ear to the street. So the man tells me, this is like 1996, that they're going to kill me because I had become very hardcore. I had begun to study all of the drug companies, I would name people. I was like, I used to have army boots on. When I first started teaching, I was like a militant, hard, because I was upset.
And good.
These incurable diseases I had were gone after a year. I was a brand new person in 1 year.
Wow.
And, you know, studied everything I could about natural health, everything. I was in every library. It wasn't no Google, so, you know, I wasn't just on Google. I was in the libraries, up in the college libraries, up on the ladders. You know, you got to go deep. And I was no longer, you know, with any of these incurable diseases. So I was upset that all of these people were dying. And, you know, some people were having experiments done that didn't need to be done, taking drugs where they didn't need to. There was things in nature that could actually help their bodies heal. So I become really angry. And a lot of times when we become, quote, unquote, conscious, at first we're very angry. And we're at war. Well, that creates disease within itself, you see. And Mr. Gregory told me, he says, man, this is what's going to get you taken out. He says, man, you got to go back to being a funny guy. Get some jokes, make some stories. Like he said, when I first came to see you, Dr. B, you was like a comedian. You was like a teacher, a professor, and a comedian. You got to go back to that. He said, like me. Yeah, and I took heed to that. We're very angry. You see, so when we hear something and we feel that we've been done wrong, we get angry. But like you talked at the beginning of the show, we have to live in love. When you truly know what love is, you may be angry for a minute. You let it out. You let all the emotion out. Snap. Go fall down on the ground, scream, tear some bark off a tree. You know what I'm saying? If it's the right tree, you might want to eat it.
Right.
You better. You see? But we need to let the emotion move through us. Otherwise, we end up what we call mental parasites. You see, these are ideas, feelings, expressions, and thoughts that are caught, and they're on like a feedback loop in your head. Unresolved anger, fear, unresolved grief, unresolved worry, all of these disagreeable emotions, they're programmed and recorded in the subconscious mind. So you have to really do some work to program your subconscious. And let me break down how this works really quickly.
Please.
Your conscious mind is your ego. That's your desire. That's your what you like, your goals. The conscious mind can process 7 individual pieces of information every second. That's 7 things. So that's your taste, your feelings, you know what I'm saying, your sight, your sound, you know, it can process those. Of the ship. The subconscious is the crew of the ship. It can process, you ready for this?
Okay.
The average 20 million bits of information every second.
Wow. Wow.
7 standing next to 20 million. It's reading everything. It's taking pictures of everything. When you walk in a room, your subconscious, if you just look around the room, your subconscious can identify everything in the room clearly. You can even read the books. You look at a bookshelf, just look at it. Your subconscious just looked at the title of every book. And we can prove this because when a person has been through something, and let's say that they saw a crime or something or an accident, they can put a person under hypnosis and get that person to tell them exactly the license plate, what the person was reading or what they were doing, what they were wearing. To the letter, crisp and clean. The conscious mind couldn't access that because the conscious mind is a thinking device. The subconscious doesn't think, it just records everything. It doesn't judge. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have a filter. See, the conscious mind has a filter on it. The conscious mind, it may, your body may see 20 million different things in a second. But that subconscious, I mean, the conscious mind filters everything down to 7. Otherwise, you'd be totally distracted. You never do anything. It's too much information. You see? So to keep you focused, there's a filter on the conscious mind, and it filters everything down to what we call 7 bits of information. Whereas the subconscious is recording everything, seeing everything, feeling everything, and recording it, and it records it based on the amount of emotion in the experience. That's what sets up the hierarchy of the filing system of the subconscious. So if something is highly emotional, It goes to the top of the filing system and up front right there so it can be readily available. So let's say you're, you know, 5 years old or 6 years old and there's some doll you want for Christmas. Because you, they got you all believing in Santa Claus. Your parents then lied to you, which is a whole other issue. You see, about this whole thing. You're caught up in this ceremony and this ritual that you don't even understand and your parents don't totally understand. But they do it because it's traditional. You see?
This right, is just what right.
Even if it goes against your holy book, because most of this stuff in the holy books is said don't do it. But I don't want to go there. That's another show. Anyways. So here you are expecting this toy. And you run up early in the morning, Christmas morning, and it's not under the tree. And you ask your parents what happened. And they say, well, you guess Santa Claus just didn't bring it. The child takes a temper tantrum. It snaps.
Yes.
They don't even care about the rest of this. I wanted that thing. That was the thing. The only thing I asked for. You see, this is personal to me because there was something I wanted that was the only thing I wanted that I never got. But my brother got what he wanted.
Hmm.
See the subconscious? Anyway.
That's right. That's right.
It was deep. Anyway. So when you run off to your room and you're mad and you may be even cursing in your mind, cursing your parents, you set up a folder in your subconscious that says, I disrespect my elders.
Wow.
And I have love and respect for authority figures. From that moment on, even though you come back out of the room later and you start playing with your other toys and all that, you still like, you know, this is really messed up. I wanted that thing. And I don't have it. And my friends got it. You know, it was on television. Y'all got me watching television around the clock. It's always on in every room. And you didn't get it for me. The parents didn't explain that. Well, first of all, maybe we couldn't find it. It ran out. Or we couldn't afford it. You see what I'm saying? You got them thinking that Santa Claus is mad at them. It said Santa Claus is coming
right
to town. You better watch out. You better not shout. You see? So why didn't I get my thing?
Yep.
I did what I was supposed to do. So there's a program in your head now, a folder that says I am angry and I got an issue with authority. That file, Sandy, is programmed into your head for life, imprinted. And that person, that was that person, let's say the five-year-old person, it put a security blanket. It put guardians at the gate of that filing system. And the only way you're going to be able to go in there and rewrite that file is using one of the processes of subconscious realignment. There is a process to go in that file and to change that. You can't get rid of the folder. Like most people still have a Santa Claus folder. That's what makes you run off when they say something is on sale and you want stuff for free and expecting the government to give you this for free and you want folks to. That's a Santa Claus syndrome. You want stuff for free. People to give you stuff. A lot of times you got the money to buy it. You spend the money, right? But then you want somebody else to give you the thing that you spent the money for buying. That's deep. That's a deep program. So what I'm saying here today is that we have a whole lot of file. What somebody said to you in school, what the teacher said, you know, they may have spoken to you either agreeably or disagreeably. Those become folders. If the disagreeable folders outweigh the agreeable folders, you have an imbalanced life. You see? Like if somebody keeps saying, we were slaves, we were slaves, we were slaves, we were slaves. Well, that's not true. Not everybody was slaves. When they got here, most of the people that you call them slaves was already here. You know, sitting around eating, you know, alfalfa. You see? Or whatever. But you agree to it. You don't have enough facts. What's Stevie Wonder say? When you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer.
There you go. Superstition. Yep. Superstition.
Now, I'm not saying there hasn't been, you know, situations that have been very disrespectful, very wrong. There's been some terrible violence done against lots of different people, especially the darker peoples. I'm not saying that didn't happen. I'm saying that you have to be careful carrying the energy into the nowness because the nowness, you are in a brand new moment, and you get to use whatever was done to you mentally, physically, and spiritually as a stepping stone to renew yourself and say that I was challenged. You know, if a person did something to you, you know, you were accosted or violated at some time in your life, there is a way through subconscious alignment we can change the words in that folder. We can't get rid of the folder, as I said earlier, but we can rewrite the information. So instead of my father wasn't never there and he was no good and he was on drugs and only time I saw him, he didn't come with nothing and I saw him do this to such and such and blah, 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 and he did this to me. You could easily change that by saying, my father challenged me. He was like my sparring partner, and he made me become strong, and he's making me successful even this day. But a lot of people can't do that because their programming is so deep. There's so much scar tissue around the issue, and that scar tissue becomes physical scar tissue. Your subconscious is stored in your body tissues. Anger is in the liver. You see, fear is the kidneys. The spleen is worry. The lung is grief. You see, so when we figure out what is going on with you physically, I need to look at what is the mental construct, the mental parasite that has caused this issue to materialize into the physical body. So there's a two-sided thing here. When I realized that, I was like, well, this is not just about being an herbalist, because, you know, you had asked me earlier what made me get into metaphysics. Well, I was, you know, I was one of the top herbalists after a while because I had a whole other way of looking at natural healing and herbs because I knew music. So I began to study the frequency and the sound and the color and the shape of the flowers. I began to study the cellular material, and I looked at the shapes of the cells of the plants. I began to use numbers and certain mathematical equations to look at the disease, right, and flip the equation around and find out what plants or what group of plants, minerals, and substances would actually eradicate that, zeroing out the issue. I got deep into it. I'm a scientist. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
After I was one of the top herbalists in the Los Angeles area, I noticed that a lot of people would come back maybe 2 years later with the disease again. They'd be great. They're eating right. They're doing everything they got to do. What's making them come back? And that's when I began to study the subconscious, and I ended up studying with Dr. Bruce Lipton. And he is the man who came up with stem cell technology. He's the one who realized that the genes are being programmed by your mind. They're being programmed by your environment. The genes, the expression of the genes, is being triggered by you. And you are the genie that tells the genes what you would like. And the genes ask you every second of every day, what would you like us to do? See, we've been told that the genes are programmed from birth. This is not true.
Right.
Yes, your hair, you look like your grandpa, you got your brother's nose and your auntie's lips. Okay, we're all related. That's only 10% of your cellular expression. The rest of it is being programmed by your thoughts, your food, the company you keep, the words you speak, and your life, your signature, the sign of your nature. That's what's programming your genes. And you could change your genes just like you go down and buy some blue jeans. And you come home and take the tags off and lay them on the bed. And say, come on, jeans, get on me. We going to the club. The jeans just lay there. You got to go pick the jeans up and put them on. So what you are doing is picking your jeans up. And you are wearing your jeans. Am I being clear with this? This is a very important piece. I want to make it clear.
Yes, sir. It's clear to me, but if you choose to say it a different way for somebody else, go right ahead.
You are creating your life, even your states of health. Here's what happened. There was a group of people that were sick all over the world. They had like heart disease, cancer, liver disease. They were really sick. But something happened and they fell and or got hit in the head and got, what is that, amnesia. Do you know if the people kept, if they had amnesia past 6 months, if they had heart disease, all of a sudden their heart fixed itself? Liver disease, cancer, gone. You know why? Because the people couldn't remember that they had a disease. So they didn't wake up every morning saying, oh, boy, I got such and such. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me pray. Help tell God to please take my disease away. My disease, my illness, my cancer, my diabetes, my high blood pressure, my pills, my doctor. Look at the contracts that you're writing in each moment. You're agreeing.
Right.
It's an agreement where some people say, no, I'm not going down that road. And you don't mention the problem. You only focus on solutions. You become outcome orientated. You look at a goal that you would like to achieve, and every second of every day you're activating that goal, and you will end up by activating that goal. You have what now is called a gold mind. A goal mind, a goal mind that you're moving towards. And you're always 3 feet from gold, and you keep digging and keep digging until you get there. I don't care what they tell you. Study Dr. Bruce Lipton. He had the number one science book for about 3 years. It was called The Biology of Belief. This is the guy that came up with stem cell technology. He probably knows more about genes than almost anybody. He had to quit the modern medical associations because they didn't want to hear that, because they're making drugs and all this based on genes. And they need you to believe that something's in your family, so it is, because you believe it. You're around all these people. All you hear at the family reunion and every function and Christmas and Thanksgiving is about how sick everybody is and how disagreeable everybody is and who's dating who and who done crossed over the line. And, you know, you hear all that talk and you can hear it. You know, I went to my family reunion and I just started recording the sound of the room, because I always have recording devices with me. So I'm recording the sound of the room, and it was crazy. You didn't hear a lot of joy. You didn't hear a lot of laughter. And then what they were eating, and when they went to eat that pulled pork, and everybody just, oh my God, they was in line. And I said, this is my family. There's nothing I can do about this. Now here I am, a world renowned natural health specialist. Not one person asked me anything about what I do or how I could help them.
Yeah.
Except my cousin. My cousin was the only one that said, you and your family are not going to eat? They said, yeah, we're going to eat. We're going to eat food. They said, well, what do you mean? What's food over here? I said, well, we choose not to eat that. We have some food that we have in the car, which we'll eat a little later. She said, wow, is that why your skin looks so good? Look at the children. Look how bright they are, how calm they are. That was the only thing. Everybody else was like upset. Y'all ain't going to eat nothing. You're going to come all the way to the family reunion. You ain't going to eat nothing. I'm just embarrassed. If your mother was alive. I'm like, whoa, this is deep. This is like a science fiction movie. So this brings me to the next step. A lot of us are suffering for what we call a generational curse. Your family is carrying an illness, an alien disease, that has come from many generations. Anger, repression, depression, sadness, all kinds of things. The standardization, mindset where everything's got to be a certain way to be right. You know, we have right and wrong and judgment. And, you know, we carry a lot through the family. And a lot of us, Sandy, our ancestors were great healers, natural healers. But can you imagine? You know, in the early 1900s, you or even 1800s, you're a great healer, and you got to hide your healing abilities. You got to hide it because Massa or the establishment or the church or the family doesn't believe you could see spirits and you could see disease in a person. They don't want to hear that. That ain't See, you got to go to church. You see, even the Bible and the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita and these books, the Torah, they're all healing books. They got herbs and everything, crystals. But nobody would like you to stand out because you may be in trouble, because most of the witches that were burned were healers. What you call the pagan? Pagans were women. Now, this is deep. The pagans were women healers. This is before man took over the whole spirituality thing. A pagan is somebody before the modern day religions who used nature, and it was usually feminine based. There's a book called When God Was a Woman.
Oh, I've
Everybody,
read that.
God, you read that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yes.
But we look at that as paganism. It's bad. Whoa, a whole lot of us is into pagan. You got some crystals at the house? You know what I'm saying? That's pagan.
Yeah.
You picking some herbs? Pagan. So my point here, Sandy, is that a lot of us have belief systems that have come through the family, and they've become subconscious, and those thought processes, those beliefs, those experiences are in program files in our subconscious. And what we've got to learn how to do is reprogram those subconscious files. I went to school and learned a technique called subconscious alignment. And when I was in class, I looked at who was in class. It was mostly marketing companies, and because these people are using this in television, they're using it in commercials to get you to buy, to get you programmed. That, you know, just like when you go in the mall at Christmas, they put frankincense. No, actually, it's barberry, bayberry, pine, and cinnamon, and they put it on a little pad and put it in the air conditioning of the whole mall, most stores.
Wow.
It's the Christmas. Wow. It's what you call Christmas smell. And if you study the essential oils, those particular ones, that group makes you buy. It makes you feel hungry. It makes you feel love. It makes you feel like giving. It makes you feel like pulling some money out your pocket that you don't have.
Wow. And that's only during the Christmas?
They started that sucker on Black Friday.
Okay.
Some of them started earlier.
And that's
now.
How we get in. Oh, I know, right? So that's how they get us to go into debt, buying stuff and charging stuff, and we don't even. It's like we're in a
zombie.
What's the word?
A menagerie.
Yeah, a zombie state until after the Christmas is over with. Yeah, and then you wake up when you get your bills, and you'd be like, "Oh my God, I didn't know I spent that much money."
Well, a lot of us say we didn't, and we don't pay it. Long as the people got the stuff, you see? And this is when we, you know, all some people haven't paid for what they bought for the last 2 years. Haven't paid for it yet. Somebody rings a bell and tells you that it's a holiday and you got to go spend money. I mean, that's deep. That's that Pablo's dog situation. You see? Or you could just,
that's
if you like
tradition.
To give, it's a tradition, which could be a tragedy. Tradition for a lot of folks is a tragedy.
Yes, I like
what I'm
it.
Saying? I'm saying that if you'd like to give gifts, give them all the give them all the time. I give gifts all year that I'm going to give gifts.
I do too.
There's a certain amount of product that I discount really well. You know what I'm saying? I give gifts. I give away stuff every once in a while. You see? Especially if it's a family that I know really does need something and they're going to really use it. And they're following a certain, they're attempting to follow a certain path to wealth and health. You see? So the mental parasites are ideas, thoughts, feelings, habits that are eating you alive, especially the ones that we call ants, automatic negative thoughts. Ants, automatic negative thoughts. These programs are in your subconscious. So with this process, this subconscious alignment technique that I use, we can go into those files and rewrite the code in those files. Now, a lot of your physical illness has a code that's written in file cabinets too. So we have to fix the idea of illness, the belief in being ill. You see, we don't call them illnesses. We call them teachers. We call them chapters. It's a chapter. Cancer is a chapter. Cancer is a warning. Diabetes is a warning. Heart disease is a warning. It is letting you know, just like the dials on your car, you know, you got all these gauges in your car. They're letting you know you're about to run out of gas, or, you know, you need water. You haven't run out yet. You're about to. You're in the red. So you feel the pain. The doctor has a diagnosis. You see, you have a chance to fix this. Otherwise, you wake up with cancer and die that day.
Right.
No, you,
right. So
you've had it, how many? You've had it how many years? I know people who had cancer 15, 20 years. And they're still alive.
Or more.
You don't even know when you get there.
Yeah.
Some people had it, didn't know they had it until the doctor told them, then they died.
Yep, exactly.
You know, everybody has cancer cells. Everybody.
I knew it. Yeah.
Everybody. So the doctor tells you got some cancer. Yeah, I know. Everybody does. Now, what am I going to do about eradicating the environment, mentally, physically, and spiritually, to change those cancer cells, which means that the cells are spinning retrograde. Cancer means retrograde. The crab doesn't walk forward. The crab walks to the side or backwards. That's called retro, which means back, grade, movement, retrograde. Cancer is a backward movement of your cells. The cell is moving in opposition to its normal movement, its normal pattern, its normal activity, but they're yours. Once you know what to give the body will attack these cells. Your own body has the mechanism to actually get rid of this. But if you're eating toxic foods and the body's going into a state of emergency every time you eat, you're thinking emergency thoughts constantly by judging, you know, watching television where there's murder and knives and people in alleys getting shot. That right there, the subconscious doesn't know that's on television. It does not know. Did you know that if you're watching a nature show, and let's say they're showing you the lions, did you know that your subconscious goes on full alert? Every cell in your body is in fight or flight.
Wow.
Because your body is programmed to say, if I'm this close to a lion, I need to be running. But you're sitting there listening to the British man tell you what the lions are thinking. You know what I'm saying? That's deep within itself.
Really.
You are if you're hearing a story about something that happened to somebody that you weren't even there. How often does that happen? You hear about what had happened. I mean, Facebook.
All the time. I mean, that's what the media is all about, right? It's about keeping you in a state of excitement. Yeah.
Overexcited. I mean, Facebook itself, we can blame media, but now we've become the media. We've become the medium. Because a lot of folks like to post this disagreeable stuff. When I see disagreeable stuff on Facebook, I'm canceling you. I'm different.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Yes, it could have happened. It didn't happen right now in front of me. I need to be taking care of my family, doing the best I could do today. Now, some people say, you need to know what's going on. Well, you have become part of a system. You're being programmed by the wizard. This is the Wizard of Oz. Oz is Babylon.
Hey.
That is the old
I'm laughing because you're so right.
You see? And you worry about what this president
crazy.
None of these folks help you. You have to get up.
Because you know, people don't even communicate with one another anymore, you know, and they'd be like, well, didn't you see it on Facebook? I'm like, no. Is that where I'm supposed to communicate with you from through Facebook, then you know, it's not gonna happen. I got you on that one. I've got a friend that call it the tell a lie. How did he say that? I think he said tell a lie instead of television. Dr. B, you have taken us straight on through, and we've got about 10 minutes left. I want you to share with the audience. You are just tremendous. I have thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed you and have taken three pages of notes from what you've said so far. But can you give us more? Will you give us more information about how to contact you? How can someone take advantage of your program? Do you do phone consultation? I know you gave us the book by Dr. Bruce Lipton. I wrote it down.
The Biology
of Belief. The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. And will you just give us some tips? We got 10 minutes left. We need to know how to get in contact with you. How do we sign up for the subconscious alignment, if that's what we're interested in, or the herbs, or, you know, just what do you offer? Do you offer classes, you know, online classes? So what is your method of delivering your knowledge to people?
Well, I teach, you know, folks have me come to teach. I just came from Louisville, Kentucky, doing a lecture and a workshop. So I do that where folks, you know, if you host me and have me come, I'll come do that. I do private consultations. I have an office here in Atlanta where I see clients, and we do the subconscious alignment, or we'll do a nutritional assessment. We can do both. I have a whole line of natural herbal products, which are a combination of herbs, crystal essences, crystal elixirs. There is flower essences, essential oils, all in my, like, one formula will have like maybe 100 different things in it. You know, I'm not just an herbalist, so I'm using everything in these formulations. My number one product is our Total Body Paracleanse program. It's a 28-day cleansing, detoxification, and rejuvenation program. We've been doing that program for 26 years now. It is known around the world. I don't know of anything like it, and that is, like, you know, most people know Dr. B for that, and it's based around parasites, getting rid of the physical parasites. There are 2,000 different parasites that can live in your body. They drink your fluids. They eat your tissue. They live in your organs. They come from meat. They come from vegetables. They even come from your raw food. All of life is full of parasites. There's parasites in air molecules. You see, so you're going to pick up parasites, and each time the seasons change is the best time to cleanse or detoxify from parasites, you see? And almost all of our ancestors did this, so we're now about to go into winter. You see, this is the time to do your solstice cleansing, your detoxification. So this is the point where folks do that for 28 days. Some folks do it for 3 months. If you have a serious illness, and you've had it for more than 3 months, then, you know, doing the program for more than 3 months would be good too. So that's on our website at elevationtime.com, elevationtime.com. We have quit smoking formulas. I don't know of anybody who's done my quit smoking program who still smokes. We have programs for people who have, you know, who've been diagnosed with cancer and all kinds of things. I can't put that on the website, so you're going to need to call me. You know, have a conversation with me and let me know what you're dealing with, and then I can give you an assessment based on that. I don't make suggestions because I cannot, you know, based on the law. But I can say some words in such a way where you know what you may choose to pick or choose. Now, if you'd like to call me, my phone number is 323-931-1212. That's 323-931-1212. There is a special on my website right now. It was supposed to be over yesterday, but I've extended it till this Sunday for this radio program. So when you go to the website, you go to shop, and then you'll see Dr. B's Remedies. And on there you'll see something called the Radio Special. That has the Total Body Paracleanse program, which is, you know, normally $199. Then you'll see something called Platinum Life Elixir. Platinum Life Elixir has gold, iridium, it has platinum and palladium, which decalcifies your pineal in a couple days, first of all. It makes you very intuitive. It pulls heavy metals out of your body, which almost everybody has these heavy metals. And it tells your genes to reverse the aging process of your genes. That's my second number one product. Okay, normally that bottle is $85. It has actual gold in it. It is one of the what they call monoatomic formulations that I make. You can study monoatomic elements, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a huge subject, you see. It also comes with a vitamin C tonic because the number one deficiency on the planet or North America is vitamin C. We have a very special type of vitamin C that's from the Camu Camu berry and the baobab tree in Africa. Those have the highest amounts of vitamin C, So a couple drops of this formulation is 1,000 times stronger than a bushel of oranges. It's a very special type of alkaline vitamin C. Most of your vitamin C's are acidic, you see. So your body has to do a lot of converting for your body to accept it, you see. So that program, that's the total body program. Then there is the Platinum Life Elixir. And then there's the vitamin C. That's a radio special. So you get $60 off by buying it like that till this Sunday. One other thing. Most people, and this is, we have to do a whole other show on this. Most people are suffering from a parasite called toxoplasma. Toxoplasma, it takes over the amygdala of the brain. It causes you to be afraid or worried or concerned about things that you should not be afraid or worried or concerned about. And it also causes you not to protect yourself from the things that you should be concerned about. It's a parasite. Please look it up. Toxoplasma. It lives in cats and rats. It has crossed into the animal feedlots. So they use it to domesticate the animals. It keeps the animals domesticated so they don't run away. They let it get into the human population because it domesticates the people. The people may march, they may talk, they may be mad, but they will not get off the farm. They're not going to do much. You may march on a bridge a little bit and, you know, burn up an automobile and tear up a few stores, and then you just go on home. You see? You're not going to really change anything. So toxoplasma is this very special alien bug. It has another name called Wetiko, W-E-T-I-K-O. We could do a whole show on this group of parasites. Wetiko is a parasite that has brought down every major society. It brought down what you call the Kemetic Society, the Egyptians, Greece, Rome, a lot of the African societies. This is what brought them down. This one parasite, which is an alien creature, which takes over the consciousness of people. It makes people angry. It makes people feel separated, makes them feel alone. It makes people go to war when they don't need to go to war. And it makes people make love to somebody they should not be making love to because the parasite wants to join with its mate that's in another person. It creates zombies. It creates vampires. Wetiko, W-E-T-I-K-O. If you test 90% of the population, they test positive for toxoplasma, and there is no test for Wetiko, but they do what they call a toxoplasma test, which is why they tell you when you're pregnant, you cannot have a cat in the house, because the toxoplasma, the baby toxoplasma, what they call the protozoa state, well, actually, it's not the protozoa state. We don't want to get into that. That's a whole other thing. It actually changes its state. But it is in almost all people. I do a test. I can tell you in a few minutes if you have it. It's a test, an energetic test, right away. All I got to do is talk to a person, look at them. And a lot of your mental, physical, spiritual issues come from this parasite. And this parasite needs you to be a little sick. It doesn't want to kill you, but it needs you to be a little sick, a little crazy. And like I said, it plays with your fear. It combines fear with love. See, think about it. There are a lot of people love in the name of fear. You see, they love, but
that's
they're afraid.
That's
I'm afraid
true.
You're going to leave me. You're going to hurt me. Well, that ain't love. Most people don't love. They just like a lot. You see, that's why they break up and hate each other, because you didn't really love each other in the first place. Well, he cheated on me. If you really love that person, there is no cheating. They might have done something that was a lie, but you know what I'm saying? You still, if you truly love that person, you would learn to let that go or just don't deal with the person. You knew when you was hooking up with a cheater because you was a cheater. You was cheating with your food, cheating with spirituality, cheating in your language, cheat. How you want to know why you got to cheat? Because you went and brought yourself to yourself. Don't get me started.
Oh, my God. Dr. B, I got to bring you back. We are out of time. You are tremendous. Thank you so much. On behalf of me and the audience, he's coming back, you guys. We're going to bring him back. And Dr. B, I'm going to see you here in Atlanta. I'm going to L.A. in the morning, but when I come back, you're going to be the first place I'll stop. But I'm going on your website, elevationtime.com, and he gave you guys, he gave you his number, 323-931-1212. Give him a call. Send him a little note. Anyway, Dr. B, we love you, we love you, we love you, and thank you so much God, you just gave us so much to think about and consider. And I know that we've all been blessed with something that touched us enough to make a change in our lives so that we stop cussing out people that cut us off on the freeway or being mad because the kids didn't do their chores and all of like that, because we understand how our energy affects our water and how it programs it so that we never do get well. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you so much.
Sandy, let me just say this last thing. I appreciate being on the show. It's an honor to be here with you. And for those of you who want to get rid of toxoplasma, the product on the website is the Master Mushroom Tonic. Master Mushroom Tonic. I will see you again. Much love. Travel light. Get rid of that luggage that you're carrying. Most of it is not yours. And have a wonderful, wonderful season of love, peace, and harmony. Travel light. Thank you, Sandy.
Love you. Thank you. We'll see you next week, you guys.
Bye. Bye.